Haskell, brother and sister. St. Helena, California, August 3, 1908. Elder Haskell, Oakland, California. Dear brother and sister Haskell, since the hot weather has come, I have not felt well, and at times have thought that it might not be wise to attend the Los Angeles camp meeting. Still, I have hoped that this might be possible, and I expect we shall go. For 1 week, my head and eyes have caused me much suffering, and I have written very little. Yesterday, I was freer from pain, although last night I could not sleep past 12 o'clock. Finding it impossible to sleep, I decided to get up and make preparations for our journey. We are planning to leave here Wednesday afternoon, as this will enable us to get to the end of our journey in time to make all necessary arrangements before the Sabbath, and thus save any bustle or confusion at the beginning of the Sabbath. I had much satisfaction yesterday in reading over our Australian mail. We had several good letters, which you also will enjoy reading when we meet. For some reasons, I have dreaded this journey to Los Angeles. Yet I am glad the people there will have another opportunity of hearing the message of warning. The end of time is rapidly drawing near. Calamities, floods, and hurricanes, and destruction of property and life declare that the end of all things is at hand. Yet to many it is coming as a thief in the night. Again and again I ask myself the question, what shall I do that I may fully act my part in giving this last note of warning? On Friday I had an interview with Elder Jones. This interview taxed me greatly. I placed before Elder Jones his true condition, but in such words as not to discourage him. Then we had a season of prayer. Oh, how I wish that he might see himself as God sees him. As it is, he has little sense of his true condition. The Lord alone knows how to impress the hearts and minds of such. In our season of prayer, both W.C. White and I prayed that the Lord would reveal to our brother his true position. We did not see anything to encourage us in the hope that Elder Jones is coming out from the darkness that is upon him. He feels that he understands himself, but he is as the blind and is feeling about to know what step to take next. I felt that I must speak plainly to him. I told him that notwithstanding the warnings that had been given regarding Dr. Kellogg's influence over him, he had gone into the very path he had been cautioned not to take. He had not spiritual discernment to understand the doctor's religious standing. I told him that he had become Dr. Kellogg's voice to the people. I told him also of the instruction I had received to take his discourses, printed in the General Conference bulletins of 1893 and 1897, and publish them for the benefit of our people, and especially for those who are newly come to the faith and who knew little or nothing of the early history of the message. Through these discourses, spoken at a time when Jones was led and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and similar statements from others, the faith of God's people would be strengthened. They would vindicate God's work among his people in this last days. What effect this will have upon his mind, we cannot say. He seems like a man lost in the fog. I will write no more now. We hope to meet you shortly in Los Angeles. We have heard nothing yet from the meeting in Eureka. Shall be glad indeed to see you both. Come in good season.